If you're blessed by this ministry and would like to help support it, your gifts would be very much appreciated. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. This morning, we have a guest minister, Pastor Gary Dyer, and his sermon will be on God's love story.
Amen. All right, it's such a joy to be back with you. I'm sorry things were a little bit off-skelter, but you know, I think it was on that day when Jesus was moving, I think he did things a little bit different. Do you think he did that? Because he shook the religious world up. And a friend of mine used to say that religion would kill a dead man at midnight in a graveyard. But you know, I was up this morning probably from before 3 o'clock till about 5, and I thought, Lord, I need to sleep. But he was taking me through his story. The whole Bible is a love story if you read it that way. And we just read that all things work together for good to them that love and obey God. Well, if you look around at the world today, the world is falling apart. But if hell is around you, heaven is inside of you, what have you got to worry about? I can share that today because some of the scriptures that you read earlier, amen, were exact some of the scriptures that I had written down. I call it Romans 8, the super 8. And I can get chills thinking about that because when you read that Romans 8, amen, it talks about being what can separate us from the love of God. Now, when I was a little boy, amen, is it all right if I talk a minute? When I was a little boy, my mother taught me to pray 8:30 every night. She'd say, come on, boy, it's time to pray. 8:30 every night, we would get down and we would say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And a lot of people look at me and say, well, that's a childlike prayer. Well, believe me, it will graduate when you're about 18 years old and you're in the bottom of a foxhole in Vietnam. You will pray. And I thought of that little prayer and I'd be in that foxhole. And in between times, I wasn't talking to God. Pardon my language. But when things got real bad, did we talk to God? The greatest love story ever told, did we talk to God? Because I would be in the bottom of it, and when those mortars would begin to fall around that perimeter, and when one hit real close, I would say, oh God, don't let one hit this hole. And see, there was a cry that was inside of me. I thought of this. Now here's a thought I want to give you. I thought if I'm ever on the radio, if I ever get to be on the radio, I'm going to read this scripture. Would you bear with me a minute? You go to the doctor. Mark Beavers was one of my favorite doctors, by the way. He's passed, but I love that guy. But he would say, Gary, you've got walking pneumonia. Take these pills, one a day, three times a day, and come back and see me in a week or two. And I said, okay. I felt real bad. Well, I went home and I took exactly what the doctor said. I went back to him and I said, Doc, I'm still sick. I can't make it. My lungs are... He said, well, take these pills exactly the way it says. 6 the first day, 5 the second, 4 the third, 3, 2, 1. On the third day, I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning lifting weights when I was younger. I said, Doc, what is that? He said, it's methylprednisone. It was a steroid. And my flesh is wanting to say, would you give me another week? Now, the scripture I'm going with that, we do a live feed at church, but I'm on the radio today. So if you're listening, I want to give you a holy prescription from the great physician in heaven. And you'll find it in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. You probably know that verse. You may have heard that verse before. But listen to these steps. I want you to take this every day, three times a day, the physician would say, and it says, if my people who are called by my name, are we called by his name today? If I would humble myself, I was taught as a kid that humble meant teachable. If I would humble myself and pray and seek his face, you see the steps you take today from the great physician. And he said, if you would do that. But then he said, if you would turn from your wicked ways, I'll heal your land and forgive you of your sins. Isn't that a great prescription today to take? I said, I want to hear that for America, for Indiana, Jackson County, Southern Indiana, Seymour. If my people that are called by my name. Now I chose the title of God's love story because always in the beginning, amen, it started out with the gift of love. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And I thought this morning and laying in the bed, what really woke my wife up was the scraper going by this morning. She said, what is that noise? I said, they're preparing the streets for me to go to church this morning. See, there's a preparation to get here. I was praying this morning, nothing earth shaking, but I kept praying. I said, God, I need you. I can't make it without you. And he knows that. You say, do you know a love story? Yes. The seed that mama sowed in this boy. My daddy was probably the greatest Marine that I ever knew. He's passed now. But he loved life. I never saw my dad angry. He loved life. And he fought in the war. And so I fought in the war. And I got two sons that fought in the war. And when your boys go to war, you take another step up in prayer. Is anybody with me? You know, I was praying for the soldiers as I do today. But when it's your boy. Now think of Jesus. When it's your boy. The greatest love story ever told. God said, today, I'm going to give you my only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My boy. One of my boys got hurt in Iraq. Now, if you shed a tear, it's okay, because I was worshiping and my eyes got watered up. But when my son got hurt in Iraq, I got angry. And I was walking up and down the altar and I was crying out, God, it's not fair. It's not fair that my boy got hurt. They don't fight fair. They don't do things right. They got car bombs. And I was going on and on like God don't know. And after about an hour when I got wore out, I finally sat down and, amen, the Lord began to deal with me. A voice swept through the congregation and nobody was there. He said, I can stop them in a day. So at a God-given time, God could stop your enemy in a day. And I guarantee you from doing over a year in a combat zone in an infantry unit, I can guarantee you that God is waiting for the cry of the American people. The greatest love story ever told. God loves you. Jesus loves you. But he's waiting for a cry. February the 19th, which is coming up, for me is almost a born again day. February the 19th of 1968, I was in probably the biggest battle I was ever in the Tet Offensive in Vietnam. And being a squad leader, I was down to eight men and we were fighting a tremendous fight. Now, I'm not talking about a war story. I'm talking about a God-given love story. Biggest battle I think I was ever in, and we were winning and we were pressing forward and we were doing as we had been taught to do, But suddenly something happened. There were more of the enemy begin to come. Have you ever felt surrounded? Like today? COVID's, nobody's dying of car wrecks anymore. It's all COVID. I told my senior pastor, it's a miracle. And when I felt surrounded and I began to see the enemy begin to come more and more and more, then instead of winning, we were being overrun. And I fell down to this dike about that tall, and I fell on my knees. The reason I'm saying this, I had my rifle, I had hand grenades, I had everything the world gave me, but it wasn't keeping the enemy off of me. Have you ever felt that way? What am I going to do now, God? Well, everything that they gave me wasn't working anymore, and I couldn't keep them off of me, and all of a sudden I found I was all by myself, and I thought, what am I going to do now? And before they got to me, listen to this. This is God's story. I'm getting excited now. Amen. I cried out. I said, oh God, I don't want to die in this hellhole. Is it all right to say that on the radio? But it was a hellhole. That's not a bad word. I said, I don't want to die in this hellhole. And all the noise stopped just like there's no noise today. And it got quiet. And I looked up and all of a sudden, as big as all outdoors. Now I'm telling you, you may think I'm crazy, but somebody was looking at me. Is this on? Somebody was looking at me. And I looked up on my knees and I said, wow, who's that? But it was good. It was the most glorious thing I think I've ever experienced in such a desperate time. So I'm telling this to encourage not only you but the radio audience, is God is in control. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. This is the book right here. This is the book. And for a time frame, I caught a glimpse of heaven, I guess, or the angel of the Lord, and I said, wow, who's that? Now you imagine the North Vietnamese is out here, but there's no artillery, there's no bullets, there's no noise. I'm looking at somebody that loves me and cares about you. And I looked at him and I said, well, I'll just go with you today. I want to go with you. And I told my mother before she passed, I said, Mom, when it comes time and you're ready, you'll want to go. You'll want to go. But you see, today he didn't take me, because after he got done with me, I was back and there was the noise of war and all that stuff going on. And I thought, what do I do now? But then I heard the cry of the wounded. Just like I'm hearing today, the cry of the wounded. My cell phone goes off. Pray, this one died. A friend of mine died December the 4th and broke my heart. I was in the room and I prayed for her and I said, you fight this thing, Karen. Don't you give up. You fight this thing. That's my friend. She's been with me on mission trips to Vietnam and the Philippines. And I said, you fight this thing. You fight this thing. And I held her hand and her hand was warm. But I looked at her. She looked 10 years younger and her toenails were painted red and she looked so neat and so clean and so pure. I said, get up. But on December the 4th, she passed. And I was going around boo-hooing and crying. I said, God, I don't understand. This woman could do anything. She could lead a team. She could be a team. She could be a servant. She could be a leader. She could be a teacher. But he reminded me that I'm not the boss. I'm just the vessel bringing the message today. Because I'm learning that... That day in February the 19th, he let me live to come back to tell you that he's real and he's true and he's available and he's there. And I preached a sermon one time, brothers and sisters, that God walks the battlefields. He walks the battlefields. He walks through that. And when I heard the cry of the wounded man that I didn't hear before, something rose up inside of me and caused me to run across an open ground and go over there and grab this wounded guy that was hurt. And he thought he was going to die. And I said, not today. Come on, God did something inside of me. Have you felt the presence of God come inside of you when you went, wow. Wow, what was that? Supernatural strength that day. Amen. So I wanted to get Gary off the battlefield, but I had to bring the wounded man with me. And for that to give me credit. He said, oh, you're a hero. And I want to say, I ain't no hero. I'm scared to death. I wanted to get out of there. I didn't want to bring him, but I had to. And I was glad I did, of course. But the scriptures you read in verse 31 of Romans, I got excited when I read this. He said, what shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? And he's for us. Maybe that word if you went into Hebrew, might be a little bit different. God is for you. And he's not against me. I've not done everything perfect since. It took me about 10 years to get over the war. And I thought, why was I fighting something that was 9,000 miles away? Why was I bringing it here and fighting it here for 10 long years? And the people around me, especially Mama looked at me one day and she said, I love your son. Now, she's married to a Methodist pastor. They're both gone. But she said, I love you, son, but don't come back to my house anymore. I said, why not? I'm this cool veteran. I just drove through your hedge and tore the phone off the wall and knocked it. I better not say that on the radio. Hallelujah. But you know, when I got saved, my mom would say, that's my boy. That's my boy. That's what Jesus or God said. He looked down and he said, that's my son. That's the one I'm proud of. Look at him. Coming here today, brothers and sisters, I said, there's one coming whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unlatch. I'm doing this today because God called me to do it. I thought, When he called me in 1990, he said, "You go preach the gospel to every living creature." I thought, "Do you know who you're talking to?" This is Gary, the guy that Vietnam, the guy that drunk driving, the guy that was on pills, the guy that caused a lot of hurt to. This is Gary. Do you know who you're talking to? Yes, I do. I'm on the firing team for the VFW, and we got another funeral Monday, and another friend of mine has passed. I thought, oh my goodness, I guess I'm getting a little bit older and I'm losing my friends. I guess they're my friends, but the commander was looking at me one day as we was getting ready to go out to the gravesite. He kept looking at me. He said, "Gary, you know what?" He said, "Some of the worst people make the best Christians." I said, "Ooh." Now, I know y'all been good. You ain't been like me, but it's all right. If you can confess your faults one to another, he said, you'll be healed. So I'm very open with you today that when I went to church at 2264 Illinois Street in Columbus, Indiana, it was the greatest love story ever told because nobody loved me except my mother. And I thought, God, I'm going to die and I'm going to be laying in the gutter and people are going to go by and said, I'm glad that nasty looking man is dead. That's the way I felt. But God loves you. Radio audience, I hope you realize this, that from the gutter, amen, from the gutter, hallelujah, he grabbed a hold of my heart and I walked into a church in Columbus, Indiana, and I didn't know what I was doing there. When I sat in the back row, nobody talked to me. Full of people shouting. Everybody had a tambourine then. I guess y'all ain't used to tambourines, but back in that day, everybody had a tambourine. Did you know, I think Moses' sister had a tambourine. Miriam, if you read your Bible. But they all tambourine praying for somebody to get saved. And I was in the back row. They praying for somebody to get saved. Nobody talked to me. But thank God, I want to give you something today. Have you thought about that God has placed somebody in your life to help you along the way? Can you think back from your childhood to your teenage years to your adult years, maybe as you've grown older like me, that God put somebody there to help you? I'm still in touch with my sergeant major. His Sergeant Paul E. Raley lives in Kentucky now. We both survived. We was both wounded a little bit, but not bad. But we both survive, and I've been praying for him because he still has a few effects of Vietnam War. But we both made it home, and when I got to Vietnam, all that training that I had, all the bayonet and all that stuff, nothing prepares you for combat until you get there. And a lot of men don't make it the first 1, 2, 3 months because just trying to fit in. Trying to fit in. But Sergeant Paul E. Raley, the first day there, they said, dig in, the Vietnamese is coming, we're going to be hit. Well, there's no water and it's 100 degrees and I was digging in, I passed out. I woke up under a poncho and there sat this sergeant on an ammo box with a cigarette. I said, "What happened?" He said, "You passed out, it's all right, you'll get used to it." Come on, somebody. But here's what he said. He said, "Dar," he said, "you watch what I do and you listen to what I say and I'm going to try to help you stay alive before I leave." Did you hear the preacher? You watch what I do and you listen to what I say. I'm talking about Jesus. And I'm going to try to help you stay alive before I leave. Brothers and sisters, I listened to Paul E. Raley. The first patrol out, he said, instead of putting me on point, he said, "Dar, you get behind me, count pace." He said, "When you get to 700 meters, let me know." Well, before we got to 700 meters, I was back there just counting pace and trying to keep track of every 100 meters, and the point man hit a booby trap. Boom! Well, guess who that would have been? That would have been me. Today, he said, "Dar, there was something about you that I liked." Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you thinking about Jesus? God has put somebody in your life to help you along the way. Maybe it's your pastor, your mother, your father, one of your family members, maybe a stranger. That day in church, I sat in the back row, nobody talked to me, 150, 200 people. But suddenly, up here with some elder ministers, and there was one that was 84 years old, and he got up. Now, I'm not making fun of him. I'm getting there. But 84, he was rock cliff. And I didn't pay any attention. I'm in the back row, and I'm back there in tears in my eyes, and I thought, man, what am I doing here? I mean, probably smelled like Jack Daniels, diet pills in my pocket, cigarettes in the other pocket. And he walks back, and I look down at old patent leather shoes. They're old and cracked. I looked at an old blue suit that was old. Now, I'm not making fun of him. I'm getting to a point. And I looked up, and there standing in front of me, God's love story, was an 84-year-old man that we became best friends, Harry Jones. And I looked at him, and everything about him was old. He had nothing I wanted. I was 30 years old. And I thought, who is this? And he says, don't be afraid to go to the altar. And I said, I ain't afraid of nothing, but I don't know what I'm doing here. And I kept looking at him. And then he said, listen to me. He said, if you'll go, I'll go with you. Brothers and sisters, I've learned today, if I need to go to the altar, I don't let anybody get in my way. I don't care if there's 10 people or 1,000 people there. I don't care if the President of the United States is there. If God tells me to go to the altar, most of the time when you see me at church, I'm in the front row. I ain't bragging. That's the closest way to the altar. I can just leap right up there and say, God, I'm sorry. Paul said he died daily. I said, God, I'm sorry. But suddenly in that old fellow's face, that wrinkled face, with like I'm getting, his eyes drooping down, and I looked at him, and I saw something in his face that I needed. 10 years of Vietnam. Is anybody with me today? 10 years of fighting a war that wasn't even there. Amen. Trying to drink it away, smoke it away, cuss it away, fight it away. Nothing was working. But I saw something in Harry Jones' face. And I thought, wow. And I got up and went with him. Instead of running, brothers and sisters, I went with him. And there we went. Is this thing still on? And there we went. And I thought, boy, I'm going to my last meal. I'm going to the electric chair. I couldn't believe I was going up front. And as we got up there, he kind of had hold of me. I got down on my knees. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. They were probably singing and praying. I don't know what was going on. But in a little bit, I looked up and I said, I feel better. And he said, good, keep coming back. Good. I felt better. I walked out of that church with long hair and a beard. If you got that, don't get mad at me. And I don't care what I smelled like, but something was different in Gary W. Dyer. Something happened inside. Something happened in here. 10 years could not eradicate, but suddenly one touch. And I was sitting down here. I said, God, if I could just touch the hem of your garment, I know I'll be healed. The woman had been sick 12 years. The doctors took all of her money. She had nothing left but a blood disease and going to die. But she said, if I could just crawl through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch you this morning, God, hallelujah, I know I'll be healed. Now, I'm not the boss. I don't know what happens a lot of times. But when I pray for somebody, I expect them to be healed. I expected Karen to get up out of that bed and walk on out of there. And it still hurts. But it's all right because I knew she was ready to meet God in peace. And the fellow said, good, keep coming back. And I kept coming back. They didn't know what to do with me. It was the Pentecostal congregation. They all had... I'll be quiet. I mean, I'm back. And they went, ooh, hallelujah. Do you understand that the word I'm going to give you today, and I hope you take it with you, that we're family. Please remember that word. We're family. I may look strange to you or I'm different than Angel or whatever, but we're family. If you love God and you love Jesus and we're all trying to get to the same place, we're family. And I told my mother one day, I said, you know, it finally dawned on me because I was in a mission trip in Mexico and I found out we were all family. I said, if we can't get along down here, how are we going to get along in heaven? She kind of looked at me. I said, well, I told the Baptists I was preaching down there in Crothersville. I said, well, I'm Baptist-costal. They said, you are? I said, yeah, I was a Baptist and got the Holy Ghost, so I'm Baptist-costal. Well, come on in. But I was telling them we're family. You understand we're family. Because when I get there, he's not going to ask me, oh, you're Pentecostal? No, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And slowly but surely, with tears in my eyes, God is making me a servant. It took me a long time because I thought, well, I want to get out of the war. I want to get off the battlefield. I don't want to bring anybody with me. But God has commanded or demanded me to do things that most people would say, that's a little bit silly. Like standing on the bridge with a sign that said, Jesus loves you. Did you ever do something out of the ordinary? If you're willing, God will ask you to do it. I went over Farmington Road Bridge. It only takes about 4 or 5 seconds at 45 miles an hour. But in those 5 seconds, God began to deal with me. He said, I want a sign. I want it this big. I want this wide. I want handholds in it. I want it painted white. And I want big red letters on it. Jesus loves you. I want you to stand on the northbound lane an hour and stand in the southbound lane an hour. And when I came out of the other side of the bridge in that 15-minute conversation that only takes 5 seconds, I had my foot off the accelerator going, what just happened? I don't want to stand on a bridge. But guess what? I went and made the sign. And I got up here and I said, here we go, God. I swallowed real hard and I said, here I am, God. But all of a sudden, it was like I could see the whole world. The whole world was coming at me. Cars and buses and motorcycles and everything. And people got to honking the horn. Now, some people give me the international peace sign. I said, get them, God. But I'm just talking about the greatest love story that I've ever been involved in is one that gave his own life for a wretch like me. We're coming to a close on the radio, but listen, there was one by the name of Yeshua, Jesus. And some people said, well, it's too cold or it's too hot or I'm tired. But I said, what about Jesus crawling his way to the top of a hill, beaten beyond recognition, with a crown of thorns, covered by his own blood, carrying a heavy cross that he fell down, and another guy had to help him. And when he got to the top of that hill, he was the greatest soldier I ever knew that got, Jesus took that hill without firing a shot. That's what we said overseas, lock and load. And he laid down on that cross and let him drive 9-inch nails through his hands and through his feet because he said, I love you. I love you. I'm discovering today that it's not just Americans that he loves. Because in 2004, God spoke to me in prayer and worship. He said, you're going back. And I said, oh no. Guess what? This very book right here. I went back to Vietnam in 2004 without a rifle, without hand grenades, without artillery, without another army with me. I went back with this. With this. And this same book here that's falling apart, I took that back to what I thought was my enemy, to what I thought the people that I wanted to hurt and take out of this world, and they wanted to hurt me. I took it, the Bible back to them, which says in the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So before the radio audience closes out, listen to this. We called it lock and load. That's when you stepped out of the perimeter and you put a round in the chamber of that M16. Well, today, brothers and sisters, you've heard the Word today. You lock and load the Word inside of you. And you have it in here and you have it in your heart. And the Word is in you. If they take this Bible away from me, I can still preach from the Word. I still got the Word inside of me. If they put me in jail, I still got the Word. And somebody said, well, what do you do with it? I said, here's your trigger. Everybody see what I'm doing? This is your trigger. Because when you pulled the trigger on that M16, it went 3420 out of the barrel. It did what it was designed to do. But when you pulled the trigger, the Word of God is faster and stronger and more powerful than an M16. Pow! Every morning I get up and I say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And any tongue that rises up against me, I shall condemn. This is the heritage of Gary and Felicia and my children and my grandchildren today. I quote the Word over them today. We're running out of radio time, but I thought, if I had an hour or two to talk about the love of Jesus, you might get bored, but I get excited. Amen. Let me finish with this. Is it all right? Just let me read this. I got to read this. Is it okay? I get excited. And you read it today. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall COVID? Is it all right to say that? I tell you, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. There's some people say, I can't. Yes, you can. The Bible said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. I can do all things through Christ. And I'll be tested with this, you know, as I leave. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? We sang about these things. We read about these things, but think about that. If they come to my house and say, Gary, I heard you on the radio today, and you said some things that weren't right, and we think you're going to take you to jail. I said, well, come on, brother. I don't want to go to jail, but if I do, I've done jail ministry and prison ministry. I'll be preaching in the jail. I'll have a captive audience. Hallelujah. You can't get away. Yes. And it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things, Super 8 says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm more than a conqueror. In Vietnam, I went back in 2004 and I thought they'll kill me for sure this time. But God opened up the door and I began to preach the word and people began to come to the altar in Vietnam. Instead of shooting at them, they were coming to the altar to give their hearts to God. Hallelujah. Then it was so good, I went back in 2008. And we had an altar call, and I'll end with this. We talk about God's greatest love story. I'll end with this. In 2008, I went back, and there was a man over here with missing a hand and an eye, and he had big marks on his face. And then in the back, I saw when he came in, there was a man missing an arm and had some physical things. But their prosthetics over there were just arms. They weren't like we got here. Of course, that was 2000. And I noticed them in the service. But when we gave the altar call, people came up, and we were laying hands on them and praying for them. And these two gentlemen come up. And I asked my interpreter, what are they saying? And he's saying, Gary, these two men fought against you 40 years ago outside this village. And I told about fighting. These two men, missing body parts, fought against me 40 years ago. And you know what they did? They came and hugged me. God's greatest love story. They came and hugged me. Put their arms around me. I was in the middle and they hugged me. And I thought, golly, this was what I thought was my enemy. Oh my goodness. I gotta be quiet because I'd go on and on. You'd be saying, hey, it's time to leave. But I hope you've got something today. And one word, please remember, family. Would you do that for me? If my mother was alive, she would call up and she'd say, what was the service about? She'd ask my boys, what did he preach about? And they'd say, something about Jesus. Glory to God. So we got a response. I'm going to be quiet.